Hello, everybody. As promised, a quick look at the transfer window. What happened? Who went where? And who didn't go some places, which is one of the big deals. Of course, a lack of move for Mbappe. But the big transfer deadline sort of shock was Griezmann. Obviously, Terry went to Atletico Madrid. Not that much of a shock in that it had almost happened. it had been worked upon earlier in the window. Barca have no money, it seems, a huge cavern in their finances. And so it sort of makes sense on one level, but it ended up being, I mean, literally the last minutes of the transfer window that it ended up going through. So what do you make of the whole Griezmann saga?
Well, I think it's a case of what I've said before on some of these podcasts about clubs always think there's a better option or they're going to get a better deal. And then on the last day, that transfer could have happened a month ago. But it didn't. And I think because Barcelona thought there was a better deal available. And then when they came to realise that on the last day of the transfer window, that I think it was Busquets and Jordi Alba agreed to a pay cut to allow Barcelona to sign Sergio Aguero, then I think we know the situation at Barcelona. Then I think really hit home that they were still struggling to get under the wage cap. So Griezmann was an obvious one. I think for two reasons. He hasn't been a disaster, but he is one of those that's in that group of players that they've spent money on recently that they actually could sell because the others, they can't. They've been struggling to move them on. And there's still players there that we thought would leave, but they're not. Pjanic is still there. Ricky Puig hasn't gone anywhere, which I find strange why he's not getting an opportunity anyway. And Dembele is injured. Coutinho is only just coming back from injury. So Griezmann was the obvious one where there actually was a buyer. And will it someone willing to sort out the salary between Griezmann, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid? And so it's a strange one. It's a 2-year deal, isn't it? With a €40 million obligation to buy.
Yeah, so they have to pay it.
Or they can do the deal earlier, which suggests to me that it might be cheaper to do less than €40 million if they do the deal earlier. Otherwise, there'd be no point if they may as well wait the 2 years and pay the €40 million. So it's, and then that, of course, kicked off the little triangle with, because Griezmann coming in, Sal going to Chelsea, and Luke de Jong ended up at Barcelona. Now, I know we're going to laugh because he isn't Suarez, he isn't Messi, he isn't Neymar, and he's a decent player with the right service. Like Brathwaite, he'll score goals. Will he? He probably is the type of player that hasn't been an option for Barcelona for some time. If they teams defend narrow and encourage Barcelona to play the ball wide. In the past, the option of crossing the ball into the box has been Jordi Alba to Messi. Now they're going to have a different option. Instead of putting Pique out front with 10 minutes to go, they're going to have, still an international striker, a player that knows how to play alongside Memphis Depay. It's only a loan, and he's playing for Ronald Koeman, who was his international manager. So it kind of makes sense. And I mean, let's be honest, Barcelona haven't got money. So you just can't go out and bring in an expensive player to replace one that you're having to release and sell because you need the cash. So I guess in the circumstances, you could argue, the only point I could make is, would they have been better keeping the money? But it's a loan, and I believe Sevilla are still paying some of his wages. So it's a cheap loan, and it does give them another option. I mean, if you had Fati and Dembele down the flanks, or Memphis, and the attacking fullbacks getting crosses into the box, then it isn't the craziest option for Koeman to start him or bring him off the bench. So I can see the merits in it because of the situation Barcelona are in at the moment. But it does lead to everyone, the wisecracks about what they've gone from to what they are now, with an ex-Middlesbrough and ex-Newcastle players leading the attack. But it is what it is for Barcelona.
Yeah, this is how deep they are in it, isn't it? We were discussing it earlier in the summer, weren't we, how deep they were in the mire, and this is it. They ended up with Brathwaite and Luke de Jong, which, I mean, see, you know, I don't want to be too disrespectful, but a few years ago, if you'd have said an ambitious championship club had Brathwaite and Luke de Jong as its front pairing, you'd say, oh, well, they've done pretty well. So end up with those two.
Yeah.
And, you know, to end up with
Barcelona.
Yeah, to end up with Barcelona. Right, here's a question. Like, just before we get onto Atleti and how that all pieces together, how close were Barcelona ever to getting Messi re-signed? Was the whole thing always just a lie? Because we were led to believe, when he was away playing in the summer, that it was close, it was there, and it was just, oh, it was just the final sums and they couldn't put it together. And Messi came back from Argentina thinking that he was signing.
Expecting.
Yeah, he expecting to sign. Yeah.
On that Thursday.
Yeah. So since then, they have... So who have they got rid of? They've sold Emerson, which we'll get to in a bit. They've had wage reductions from Piqué, and they haven't registered Aguero, and now they've sold Griezmann. So they've got Griezmann's, what, $500,000 wages off the wage bill?
Yep.
So all of that. So were they never going to sign Messi? Was it always?
I think the intention obviously was to, but they were a million miles away from signing Messi.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Because you see the situation now. They're clearly, you know, a long way away from signing Lionel Messi. So that was, but they obviously thought they had a chance of doing it. I mean, which players did they get move on? Emerson, Firpo, Junior Firpo. Yeah. I think their sum was $48 million they brought in. Pounds, so just over 50 million euros in terms of transfer fees in. Carlos Alenia, 4.5 million euros. Todibo, Firpo, Emerson Royal, loans, free transfers released, but nothing significant. Trincao has gone on loan with, an obligation at Wolves. That'd be a big money one, I think. I did read they were getting their money back in total, what they spent on him, which is about 30 million euros from Wolves. So there's been nothing significant until Griezmann. So I have to agree with you. I think it's obviously something they wanted to do. But they were, when you look at the evidence now, they were always a million miles away from keeping Messi.
Hmm. Yeah, because they have got people out since, and significantly the second highest wage earner has gone. If they'd kept Messi to transfer deadline day, they could have registered. Or maybe not. Maybe they were too far away.
They're too far away.
But again, the extent of the debt, Bartomeu just ignored that debt. Kept, you know, the red letters kept dropping on the doormat, and you know it's like, oh, just chuck it in the bin.
Or whether Laporta was finding out, finding out that, oh, there's that. I didn't realise there was that. I mean, it hasn't been that long, has it, since he came in as president, and he admitted himself that it was worse than he thought. And obviously Messi was the number one priority, but it does appear now they were a million miles away from doing it. Free transfers brought in and loans, which isn't the normal Barcelona style. So I think looking back now, it was wishful thinking on Barcelona's part that they could afford to add Messi to the wage bill. I'm assuming now that Griezmann and the cuts from different players does get them under it. The fact that they've been able to...
Well, they must be well under it.
The young alone and Aguero.
Yeah, they must be well under it, mustn't they? Because they were able to register...
They were well over it, though. They were well over it.
But they registered Memphis, didn't they? So they must have been reasonably close at the point at which the PK's pay cut allowed them to register Memphis. So they must have been getting reasonably close, because Aguero's not on that much, is he? He's on less than he was at City, isn't he? So, by the time you've taken off, I mean, Emerson wouldn't have been on that, but they have got the 30 million euros from that as well. So it would seem to be well under their wage cap now, Barcelona. But that's not a problem in that they've got, it is less than they're not a weaker team, but they have got this chasm of debt that they need to start chucking stuff into at some point, don't they? Which, I guess is the plan now, isn't it? So before we leave Barcelona, so Emerson Royal, who's got a dream move to Spurs, Terry, where he always wanted to play. Did you see his Instagram message leaving Barcelona? It was like you just arrived. It was like, oh, it's always been my dream to play for Barcelona. And all of that. Mate, you realise they're selling you.
29 days after being presented in the normal fashion of a new signing. Involved in the opening games of La Liga, and appeared to be genuine competition for Serginho Dest, but such is the nature that Barcelona were, for any of those players that were gettable in terms of a reasonable fee, reasonable salaries, he fell into that category, and Barcelona couldn't turn down the offer.
And they made a profit, crucially, as well, didn't they? Because the clause let them bring him in on a low wage. So it's just, you know, whatever's left after they paid Betis is pure. It's all pure profit, isn't it? Which I think is good for the balance books. Mariba, being another one, has gone to Leipzig. I mean, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it? I think the ideal would have been that he'd come through the ranks, not asked for a big pay rise, got some playing time, and been a Barcelona player. That would have made more sense. But I think once it had broken down and Barca were desperate for the cash, it made sense at that point to take an offer from Leipzig.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see how his career develops, because we saw enough to suggest that he has potential. And like any youngster that comes in the team at Barcelona and plays a significant amount of playing time, which he did, we're all thinking that he's going to be the next best thing. It remains to be seen. I find it disappointing that a player of that age, though, and I do, from reading from what's happening behind the scenes, it looks like he's been advised. I think he actually said he preferred to go to Spurs than Red Bull Leipzig, but that was against the wishes of his father and his agents. And the big cause of the complaint was that he was, as an 18-year-old, was asking for a ridiculous salary. Which again came from his father and the agency. So it's kind of, we have to be careful that an 18-year-old, Koeman said the only sensible thing, that an 18-year-old that's playing regular football at Barcelona in the first team, money shouldn't be his biggest concern. Because if you are a success at Barcelona, at the age of 18, money is going to follow. Everybody knows that. So to jump ship where, I think it's a wrong choice. I say by him, by the people advising him, they've gone for the quick money, transfer fees, someone's going to pay him what he wants. And, you know, instead of becoming an established player, still one of the most important clubs in Europe, despite their circumstances. And because of the circumstances at Barcelona, it would have meant that he would have got playing time. At the age of 18, playing, being a regular first team squad member and playing lots of football for Barcelona, you couldn't beat that.
You know, rewind history a little bit. Paul Pogba leaving Manchester United. This would be the equivalent of, this would be Barcelona buying Mariba back for 90 million.
90 million.
Yeah, in a couple of years, 3 or 4 years' time.
That's out of the question, isn't it, John?
Barcelona would never make a stupid decision in the transfer market, Terry. Right, we'll leave it there with Barcelona.
That will never happen.
Let's piece together to Atletico. Right, so Mateus Cunha, obviously, sitting there watching this all happen, thinking, excuse me, excuse me, hello.
I've only been here a week.
So they signed Mateus Cunha for, what, 30 million?
Yes.
Because they think they need an extra forward. And then they sign Griezmann. They don't sell João Felix, as you know, some of the rumours were saying that he might have been part of the deal with Barcelona, but no, he's still there. So they do sell Saúl, which again, I'm sad that they've sold Saúl because I really like him. I wanted him at Atleti, I wanted him in La Liga, but it sort of got to a point where it made sense to sell.
But I thought he was going to stay. In the summer, all summer I thought he would go. And then because he's played the start of the first two games, coming as sub at the weekend, we saw his commitment. The game against Celtic, the first game of the season, he helped to make the winning goal with some really good play, and sunk to his knees in jubilation that Atletico got the winner and we're going to get all 3 points. So he was so committed. But obviously the sticking point has been his position that he's been asked to play, or various positions he's been asked to play in recent years. And I kind of get that. I mean, as a midfielder, box-to-box, dynamic player, could score goals, aggressive, he's a good competitor, great mentality. He was up there with amongst the best, wasn't he, in Europe for his age, for what he was achieving. Great goals in the Champions League. I remember a great goal, I think it was against Bayern Munich, I think, in one of the Champions Leagues, stunning goal. And he was the real deal. And then in the last couple of seasons, he's been playing left side midfield in a four, left back, left wing back. And I think his form has suffered. And he's not been a regular first choice player, which has come as a shock to the system. and he's lost his place in the international squad. So I kind of get where... And he made a really good point, actually, that we don't see often, where he said he's even asked at Atletico Madrid just to stick to midfield and to train and practice as a midfield player and to develop his game again as a midfield player, as opposed to on a weekly basis changing positions, training for the next match as a left back, training for the next match as a left wing back, training for the next game as a left-sided midfielder in a midfield four. And he wanted to get back to being, you know, trained, coached, managed, playing as a central midfield player. And, you know, he believes, and I believe, that he's still got the ability at the age of 26 to kick on again and prove to be the player that we thought he was. So I think it suits everybody, I think.
It's an interesting one for Chelsea, though, a place to go, isn't it? Because he's gone to the European Champions, which is not an easy gig in a sense, is it? In that they've got a lot of midfielders, haven't they? They've got, you know, Kante plays there. They've got Kovacic playing there. They've got Mason Mount playing in there.
Jorginho,
yeah.
Holden,
who takes up a position there. Havertz sometimes plays deeper. So there's a lot of competition there, isn't there? So that's the challenge, because what you wouldn't want to do for him is to be one of the many players who goes to the Premier League and then doesn't play anymore and we forget all about him. So Griezmann, and yeah, so how does that front line work at Atletico?
Don't know. I have no idea. I really don't. I guess with the five at the back, three at the back, with the four in midfield, you could have Griezmann playing behind the front two, or you could play two behind Luis Suarez. Could he play instead of Suarez? They bought Cunha to do that, but I guess at a push. I mean, you could play João Felix and Griezmann behind Suarez, still have a midfield three, and still have a midfield four, and three at the back. There are options, but they've got lots of players to fit in. I mean, if you're playing the three in, if you've got three at the back, there's only four, I think. An issue. Wing backs, you can either play full backs in the wing back position like Trippier and Lodi, or you can play wing backs as in Llorente and Carrasco. So there's the options there, isn't there? The midfield, if you're going to play 3-4-2-1 or 3-4-1-2, the midfield pairing, Kondogbia, Koke, am I missing anyone else? You could play Marcus Llorente back in there as well. And then that would leave you the three attacking players. So I guess that's what Simeone wants to try and do. It's adventurous, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Correa and João Felix, or Correa and Griezmann, or João Felix and Griezmann playing off of Luis Suarez, with Carrasco and Llorente down the flanks, or Trippier and whoever. So it's an adventurous look to Atletico Madrid. And I guess then Cunha still fits the bill as cover for Luis Suarez, and which Five does kind three. Of make yeah. sense. It kind of does make sense that otherwise, you have Griezmann playing up front, João Felix, or Correa playing as the traditional back-to-goal striker. So it does give them in plenty of options.
So here's a question that we probably didn't ask enough about Barcelona over the years. Does it make sense for them to have spent all this money on Griezmann? We weren't really saying that they needed. Yeah, when they signed Cunha, we were relatively happy with the Atletico squad at that point, weren't we? I think... Yeah, we weren't getting messages from people saying, "Well, desperately short of an attacking player," and they spent a hell of a lot on
it. Yeah, no, I guess the only way I can see it, they're looking at it, is that they sold him and they're getting him back and making 80 million, is it, profit, or not profit, but from what they paid for him. I'm presuming as well that Barcelona probably already still owe money on paying off the transfer fee to Atletico Madrid. Yeah. So that's another thing that comes into the equation. Just sometimes a manager has an association with a player that, you know, they keep in touch with. They were disappointed to see go, and if they get the opportunity to bring him back, then they will do everything in their power, Atletico, to please Simeone. Simeone seems absolutely delighted to get Griezmann back. So he's got a plan. I'm actually looking forward to seeing it, to seeing what the plan is, because you know, the super squad now that Atletico have got, despite the fact that we think it's maybe top heavy with attacking players, but why would we moan about Simeone being top heavy with attacking players. Let's just hope he makes, you know, utilizes them, and we do get to see, you know, a very attack minded Atletico Madrid. Unless Griezmann plays left wing back.
I was watching Sky on transfer deadline. That Sam Allardyce on Terry, who made it a rather vague allegation that the King of Spain was behind some kind of conspiracy. Because basically, we talked about, you asked about how Real Madrid had the money to bid for Mbappe. And he said, well, Real Madrid, it means royal, doesn't it, Real Madrid? Right. And the rest of your point is what? How does this work, Sam? Well, he was allowed to just make the general point of, Real Madrid. I can see where they've got the money from, because they haven't really been spending for a couple of years in the transfer market. Yeah. And they are Real Madrid with a massive revenue still, even with the stadium shut, still getting a lot of money in from other sources. I get that he saved up the money. As discussed before, you and I didn't want them to spend 160 million on Mbappe. But they were desperately trying to spend over 200 million at the end. And we'd already said that it was mad that PSG was saying no to the money, or a sign that they didn't care about money, PSG.
That's it, basically.
Yeah. And it just got higher and higher and higher, this sort of poker match.
I wonder if there was relief.
There was
relief from Real Madrid at the end when they went, we got that window shut, we didn't fork out 220 million.
Yeah, and now we can have it for free. Yeah.
220 million, I was looking at the total spend from La Liga clubs, 292 million euros in the end. And Real Madrid were going to do all of that nearly on one player that's out of contract in a year, but you can do a deal. I mean, just put it into perspective, it's the lowest spending league in out of the major leagues in Europe, with the Premier League coming in at 1.3 billion euros. How? I have no idea. But Real Madrid are, you know, like every other club in Spain, it's different levels, of course, you know, because the supporters haven't been in the stadium, so it's affected teams like Getafe and Levante, who rely on the income from gates. But it also, you know, you multiply that by how many supporters Real Madrid and Barcelona and Atletico Madrid have lost out on. Not just the supporters coming in and paying tickets, it's the revenue that comes with the match day experience, buying all the other stuff, the merchandise, the, you know, refreshments and stuff like that of the game. So they've lost a fortune. So I kind of get why La Liga have only spent that amount of money. But it blows my mind, to be honest, that 1.3 billion euros has been spent in the Premier League. Someone sent me a tweet from Athletic Club English supporters and said, they put it in perspective, I think Arsenal spent the same, if not maybe a little bit more, than Athletic Club have spent in their entire history.
So Arsenal spent more than last month.
So, and they sent me a tweet, I will retweet it just to put it into perspective. But there's some interesting signings because of the, and I'm surprised that more clubs from the Premier League haven't made the most of clubs in Spain needing finance.
I think that's
part of the management of being a director of football should be to look at leagues and think, right, you know, that's common knowledge that the clubs in Spain have got salary cap issues, and so let's have a real close look at what could be available, because some of the ones that I could talk about in the next few minutes are really surprising.
See whether Arsenal could have signed a sub goalkeeper for cheaper than 25 million quid, you mean?
Yeah, Rui Silva went to Betis on a free.
Yeah.
So. And he would be good enough. Actually, I'd put him as number one at Arsenal. I think he's a good goalkeeper, Rui Silva. So Betis did well there to snap him up. We could make a team. We've often done that, make a team up of bargain buys. Unai Lopez has gone to Rio Vallecano. I think Unai Lopez is a terrific player, allegedly on a free transfer. I would imagine there's some protection there for Athletic Club in the fact they do sometimes do that with a clause that they can bring them back, or if they tear up the league and are brilliant, Real Madrid want to buy them, Athletic Club are protected with that investment. Kang In Lee has gone on a free transfer from Valencia to Mallorca. I think he's massive potential. That's a surprising transfer. So there are bargains about between the Spanish clubs, for sure. But it just goes to show the wealth that comes from having privately owned football clubs compared to the model that we see in Spain, which has led to people questioning whether it still can continue with Barcelona and Real Madrid being owned by the supporters. Is that enough to... So it's a dilemma.
Yeah, TV money is different as well, though, isn't it? The Premier League international TV deal is huge compared to La Liga, isn't it? It probably is billions more, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's considerably over a billion, isn't it? So you might consider... I'm guessing here, but I wonder if it's a billion more, which in a sense would say that's what they've spent.
And
obviously, yeah, I don't know. That's, I'm guessing there, to be honest. Right, so one or two others, as you mentioned.
Although in fairness, in the Premier League, sorry, just to go back to that, there are a number of clubs that have spent the money, but there's a number of clubs that haven't in the Premier League this season. Newcastle have bought one player. Everton have spent very little. Clubs that sold a player have reinvested that money in other players. So it comes down to the bigger clubs, the Manchester United, Chelsea have spent money. Arsenal have spent money. Liverpool haven't spent an awful lot, just bringing in one player. So it's had its effect on certain clubs in the Premier League as well. And Crystal Palace had to spend money because they released a lot of players. Tottenham needed Spurs needed a turnaround, but at the same time, bringing in four, they got moved eight on, so their wage bill might be lower. So it's not, it's, you know, there are clubs in the Premier League that aren't spending as much as they have done in the past. So it has hit some clubs in the Premier League for sure, but the big clubs, it doesn't appear to.
So one or two, you mentioned Rayo. So have they got Radamel Falcao now or not? Is that?
I believe so, but yeah. It hasn't been confirmed by the club. I think he rescinded his contract at Galatasaray, so he comes into the category if he can sign outside the window, but I believe it has been done. There was talk at the time of Mariano Diaz going there as well. And I've been, you know, watching this season, you think, despite them scoring four at the weekend, it's clear they needed some more quality up front. And you suddenly thought, well, they've got Falcao, they're trying to get Mariano Diaz. In the end, they got Sergio Guardiola. So I think they've improved. 35, Falcao. I can't wait to see him play again. You know, it's always been a favourite player of mine.
And yeah, coming
it's
up
going
against...
back a long time. But it'd be interesting to see him roughing it at Rayo Vallecano. They're going to be in a relegation scrap from the start of the season. So it's going to be, you know, they needed quality up front. They've got it. Has he still got it? Let's wait and see. But and Unai Lopez, the one I said. So they've really improved in the last day of the transfer window.
Hector Bellerin, we've never seen in La Liga, have we, Hector Bellerin? He left Spain, you know, when he was a kid, didn't he? So, yeah, so up to Betis.
And claims he was a Betis fan as a youngster.
Like Emerson Royal was a Spurs fan.
Actually, this looks genuine. It's feasible, isn't it, that a Spanish player might support a particular club was Emerson supporting Spurs.
Oh, I don't think he ever said that, to be fair.
That'd be interesting. And I moaned, didn't I, about Betis not being as good as I thought they were last season. Emerson leaving, Martin Montoya was playing at right back, which is okay, but will Bellerin be better? He's got to find the form that he showed a couple of years ago. I don't think he's been in the greatest of form for a couple of years, but I think it's worth the opportunity for Betis to take.
Yeah, literally anyone who plays for Arsenal is in worse form than they were a couple of years ago.
I know, incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
So talk about good signing, Angel Herrera. He's gone to Espanyol, hasn't he? Which
yes.
Yeah, he's a good player, isn't he, to be knocking around on transfer deadline day?
I did wonder if that was going to be the case because I'd not read anything about him playing for any of the teams at Manchester City. I'm surprised he hasn't returned to Granada, to be honest. Having improved there in the last couple of seasons and the team and him had success. So slightly surprised that coming back to La Liga, he hasn't returned back to Granada, but Espanyol do need a... clearly need someone to score goals. We think it's Raúl de Tomás, but he's not in full. And I think Herrera does give them something different from midfield. As an attacking midfield player that gets himself into the penalty box. I agree with you. I think he's a really good player. And I was kind of wondering if he might be kept at City this season due to the progress he's made or sold. But perhaps they feel City that at this moment in time with the... finances around Europe, it wouldn't be a Premier League club that buy him, but maybe, you know, it might be a better time to hold on to him as a loan player still, and then hope that the, you know, finances pick up and they can get a transfer fee, better fee for him later on.
Yeah, well, that would make more sense to loan him to a Premier League club, I would have thought, because then you just widen the, you know, people who watch La Liga think Yangel Herrera is a good player. People, Premier League fans, I don't think have heard of him.
No, exactly.
So, you know, a year in the Premier League and plenty of clubs he could have played for in the Premier League. And then you are talking big money, aren't you, to sell him if he is a success, which is no reason why he shouldn't be. Ontiveros to Osasuna. Another one, decent signing.
Well, they've got loads of attacking players now. They've got centre forwards, they've got loads of wingers. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting player that hasn't really had an opportunity at Villarreal, has he? He's at Huesca, went to Huesca on loan last season, was excellent at Malaga. Needs to play close, go somewhere where he's going to play regular. I'm not sure that's going to happen sooner, but a decent signing.
So, just a quick overall summary then, Terry. So, as you say, you know, less than 300 million spent. So it's a billion shy of where the Premier League was. It's shy of even France. Is it a disappointing transfer window for Spain? Are you content that you know, the books have been reasonably balanced? Where do we stand with the FFP? I mean, you and I have both agreed in the past that we like the financial fair play. It makes sense that you can't spend money you haven't got because you're a football club. You can't print money. Yep. So, but has it left La Liga just looking a little bit grey compared to the rivals?
I guess it'd be foolish to deny that. When you know, the players like Messi are leaving, Saul are leaving. I'm sure there's others I can't think off the top of my head. But I still look forward to the season with intrigue as well. And I still feel there are really, really good teams in it still. I mean, Sevilla, thankfully, they showed restraint and didn't sell Koundé, you know, and so I think that's I've made the point, it's a game changer. Koundé staying makes, for me, them title contenders. He's that important. So I think that also says the ambition of Sevilla is, because in the past, they would have sold him. It might not have taken the buyer clause, but if it had been close, they would have sold him because that's been their business model. And no one's complained about it because then they go out and buy another Koundé and do the same or repeat the same thing again. But I think this time by saying we're keeping him and we're going to, you know, resist the big money offer from Chelsea suggests that their ambition now is to win the Liga. So I think we've got a good competitive nature to it at the top of the table. And with the transfers that have made, you've got to know your Spanish football. You've got to be a fan of Spanish football to realise the players that we're talking about, the Unai Lopez, the Kangin Lees. You've got to know your stuff to realise that the teams, you know, it makes it interesting. You know, if you're reading from the outside and you don't watch a lot of Spanish football and you're looking at Barcelona and you can often, you know, just look at it and go, oh, the Young and Braithwaite are up front. But that could be Dembele, Fati and Aguero and Memphis. There's still good players at Barcelona. There's still outstanding footballers at Real Madrid. Camavinga coming in, I think, is looked into it in more detail at the age of 18. That's a signing Real Madrid should be making. I'm surprised someone else didn't beat them to it, to be honest, at that price. That's throwaway money for a Premier League team.
That a contract in a year, wasn't he, I think? So, yeah. But yeah, it's sensible signing. Yeah.
And Valencia is showing something different this year. So Villarreal spent decent money. One of the exceptions in La Liga this season. They've gone for it in terms of backing Unai Emery. I think there's still a league that I'm looking forward to seeing plenty of. I say more of. Watched all 30 games so far. I don't know how long I can keep that up. but I'm going to try. So it's still plenty of storylines. And there's still plenty of star quality, not in the sense that when the Clásico used to be played, you probably had the 15 best players and biggest names in the world between Real Madrid and Barcelona squaring up against each other. So it will come back to that one day, I'm pretty sure. But at the moment, that isn't the case, but there's still excellent football teams in this league.
Right.
And there's still bargains. If anyone wants to buy a player, scout La Liga. Look at the young players, look at the smaller clubs. It's a place to be looking to in this market. to pick up quality. Some fantastic young players coming through the systems at all of these clubs.
Right, and we will be following it all here. So thank you very much. Don't forget the Patreon, patreon.com/LTEL if you want to get on board. Thank you to everybody who has joined us recently. And we'll be doing some more Patreon stuff very soon. We'll be back with some more La Liga podcasts when the action gets back underway again. Not this weekend, next weekend. So we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.